Tim, and I'm the lead pastor here, and we are, I just got to say, we're quite excited about having you all over for dinner, and so we hope that you take that to heart and sign up at the Welcome Center. We've got some spots there. Please give us your phone number so that we can call you and tell you where we live. Key piece of information. And so you're not going to find out unless you give us your phone number, so you can sign up for that. Well, during the month of August, we've got 5 Sundays in August, and we're going to be spending time in the book of Psalms. And the book of Psalms is a wonderful book in the Bible. It's a very interesting book to have in the Bible because it's unlike many other books that we have. So it's not a narrative that we have in the book of Psalms. It's not a history, a glimpse into the history of Christianity. Thank you. It is not a teaching book. It's not like one of Paul's letters in the New Testament. It's not giving theological teaching. The book of Psalms are a collection of songs that human beings wrote based on their current circumstances in life. It was a song from their heart, but it was anointed by the Holy Spirit. See, it wouldn't be in the Bible if it was just a song that somebody wrote. I don't care how great Bono's lyrics are, they don't make it into the Bible. Why? Well, there's something different about these songs because these songs were anointed by the Holy Spirit, but they're still the words of man, still a man's communicating his heart to God based on his current circumstances. So if you brought your Bibles with you this morning, open with me to Psalm chapter 23. And we're going to be going through 5 different psalms, different psalm every week. And Pastor Krister will be preaching 2 weeks from now as well, so that's something to look forward to. But this morning we are on Psalm chapter 23, perhaps the most popular psalm written by David. It begins with this great declaration, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. One time when Jesus was addressing a crowd, he began to speak to them about the difference between a shepherd and a hired assistant to a shepherd. He was saying, you know, there's a shepherd, but then there's his hired hand. There's his hired helper. And if a hired hand sees a wolf coming, what does the hired hand do? He runs away. He saves his own life. He flees to save his own life. Why? Jesus says, because he does not care for the sheep. You know what he cares about? His paycheck. He's a hired hand. A paycheck isn't worth dying for. I don't know if you figured that one out yet. You can't take any money with you when you go. So the hired hand just flees away. But Jesus says, a good shepherd is going to stay. Why? Because he cares for the sheep. So the root issue when you hear us talking about a shepherd is care. When David makes this declaration, "The Lord is my shepherd," David is saying, "The Lord cares for me. The Lord cares for me." You know, when you were born into this world, somebody had to take care of you 24/7. I've been asking parents recently, "Why didn't you warn me?" How much effort it takes to take care of a baby. They need you all the time. They're kind of dependent upon you for living. And for those of you who think a little bit maybe too highly of yourselves, let me remind you that at one time you needed someone to take care of you 24/7. Babies can't feed themselves. They can't change their own diapers. They can't take themselves for walks. They can't give themselves baths. They're completely dependent upon mom and dad. Now, as a baby grows up and becomes, you know, an older boy and girl, there's some more independence. They can go and they can feed themselves. They can go and get themselves a snack out of the fridge. They can walk around the house. They can do certain things. But they're still very dependent on mom and dad to take care of them. And you grow up, become a teenager, there's a little bit more independence. Maybe that teenager can go and get their own job. They can start driving their own car. Or they can start driving your own car. You know, there's a little bit more independence, but, you know, no matter how many shifts you work at McDonald's, when you're in school, you still gotta have mom and dad around to take care of you. You can't go and get yourself your own place. But there does come a time when you have independence from mom and dad. Do you remember that day when you can move out on your own, you get your own apartment, you get your own house, and you feel so free. You can order pizza at 2 o'clock in the morning. You just feel this freedom. I'm free. I don't need mom and dad to take care of me anymore. But then what happens? Your washing machine breaks down. And who do you call? Dad? Or dad-in-law? Why? Because you need them to take care of you because you've never taken care of that before. Because you haven't experienced these things yet. And then you grow up a little bit more, maybe, and maybe you get married. And you feel some more independence from mom and dad. I'm going somewhere with this, by the way. You feel some more independence from mom and dad. They don't need to take care of you anymore. Now who takes care of you? Your spouse. Oh, good. I finally found a wife that can take care of me. I finally found a guy that can, a husband that can take care of me. We just switch from mom and dad to spouse. The spouse takes care of us. Then you have kids, and the cycle begins again. Now you're caring for the kid. Okay? And then it gets to a point where your kids grow up, you grow up, and your kids start taking care of you. What's my point? Our lives are a continual cycle of taking care of others and being taken care of by others. It's this cycle. Who's taking care of you? I want to ask you a question this morning. Who is your shepherd? Who do you rely on to take care of you? You rely on mom and dad? You rely on your spouse to take care of you? Do you truly rely on the Lord to be your shepherd? David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd." And nobody knows exactly when David wrote this psalm, but people like to think that it was later on in his life, after he had been through a lot of different things, and looking back at what it was like being a young shepherd when Samuel was going to anoint the new king of Israel. He went to Jesse's house. Jesse has all of his boys lined up to meet Samuel, except for David. Where was David? Taking care of the sheep. So when this anointed song is coming from a heart of David, the heart of somebody who's been a shepherd, and he makes this declaration, "The Lord is my shepherd," that means something. David knows what it means to shepherd sheep. He knows what it means to care for somebody and to take care of them. And so if you were to imagine David writing this song, inspired by the Holy Spirit as an older man, thinking back on what it means to be a shepherd, let's read Psalm chapter 23, if you have it there in your Bible. If not, it'll be up on the screen. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Because the Lord was David's shepherd, David was able to feel absolute security, comfort, provision, and care from his God. I mean, I don't know about you, but I read through this psalm and I just go, "Oh, that sounds nice. Doesn't that sound good? He leads you beside still waters. It just sounds like a lifestyle of vacation when the Lord takes care of you." So David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Now, there's a combination of meanings here. When you say, "I don't want anything," could mean two possible things. It could mean that you have no desires, you've gotten rid of all your desires, and therefore you just don't need anything. Or it could mean that you don't need anything filled. If the Lord's really your shepherd, then stop being so greedy. Stop looking for a raise and stop thinking about, you know, getting that next car. Just get rid of it. You shouldn't want anything. Well, that's great if you want to become a Buddhist. Just get rid of all of your desires. But that's not what the message of the Bible is. David is saying, I shall not want. The other translations say, I do not lack. I don't lack anything. My God takes care of me. I don't have any lack in my life because the Lord is my shepherd. Can you picture every need in your life being met? Think about the things you've been praying about over the course of the past few months. And picture every prayer being answered. What does that look like? That's not lacking when the Lord is your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, he says. He makes me lie down in green pastures. What sheep wouldn't be happy to lie down in a green pasture? Now, I don't think I would prefer to lie down in a green pasture. So why don't you go ahead and just change that verse a little bit? He makes me lie down in a hammock in my backyard. He makes me lie down in a king-size bed with 1,500 thread-count silk sheets. Green pastures, hey, that's great for a sheep, but I'm no sheep. So he makes me lie down where I'm comfortable. Leather, lazy boy, he makes me lie down there. Now, I love that David said he makes me, because sometimes I think God has to force us to lie down and relax. Make me lie down. Why? Because we don't want to take a day off. We just want to keep going. We see progress. We live in a society. Our drug is process. Progress. Sorry. Progress. We want achievement. But if I can just squeeze in one more thing. And David's saying, no. My God, when he's my shepherd, he makes me take a day off. He makes me rest. Joyce Meyer wrote a book. She read a book. Yeah, that wouldn't be a big accomplishment. She wrote a book a while ago called Eat the Cookie by the Shoes. Okay, now, I haven't read the book, but I can say amen to the title. There are some times when you just need to eat the cookie and buy the shoes. There are some times when you just need, and I believe that the Lord has to make us do that sometimes to enjoy our life. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside still waters. I don't know the last time you hung out with sheep, but they don't like fast rapids. It's dangerous to them. Why? Because they're thirsty. They want to take a drink. And if they go to take a drink out of the Niagara Falls, it's not going to end well for them. So sheep want still waters. Maybe some of you have this in common with sheep. Maybe you prefer the lazy river as opposed to the slides at the water park. Anybody like the lazy river? Oh yeah, still waters. Just a little just enough to keep you going. Relax in your big inflatable tube. He leads me beside still waters. You might think that this is a strange reading of Psalm 23, but this is just how I read the Bible, people. I'm in a lazy river when I read Psalm 23. He leads me beside still waters. The Lord is my shepherd, he says. He restores my soul. He strengthens me when I feel weak. He encourages me when I'm discouraged. He gives me hope when I have no reason to hope. He restores my soul. When my soul is distorted and broken, when I'm thinking incorrect thoughts, God can come in and refresh you with new thoughts. God can come in and restore your thinking. He can restore your soul. He can straighten you out when you're wrong, give you courage when you're afraid, because he's your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know what that means? God leads you to do good things. He leads you to do what's right. God will never lead you to do something that's wrong. God will lead you to do something that's right, but it's not so that you can go, hey, I did it. I did something good. Look at me. It's for his name's sake. It's so that God can be glorified. Next time you do something good, instead of rejoicing in yourself, give glory to God. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me in paths of righteousness. And so in his opening words, David writes that the Lord is his provider, comforter, protector, restorer, security, and his righteousness. I'm beginning to think that this is a really good God to get to know. But the Lord could only be these things to David because David let him be a shepherd. Who's your shepherd? Who's your shepherd? Who do you rely on to take care of you? Your parents, your shepherd, your spouse? How about the government? How about your career? Your pension? How about you? Oh, it got quiet there. Everybody laughs at government, but then I say you, and it's like, oh, yeah. Because we like being our own shepherd, don't we? I mean, we can look in the mirror, and we can say, hey, I am my own shepherd, and I shall not want. I make myself lie down in green pastures. I lead myself beside still waters. I restore my own soul. I can take care of myself. This is what we believe in our society at large. I got things under control. I am my own shepherd. How many of you, if you were writing Psalm 23, would be writing, my spouse is my shepherd. She makes me lie down whenever she tells me to lie down. He leads me to go wherever he wants to go. Honestly, how many of you, your spouse is your shepherd? You rely on them for everything. I mean, we think it's cute, when we see it in the movies when there's, an elderly couple and one passes away and then the one who's left behind, they can't do these certain things anymore. They can't get that thing on the shelf or they can't make themselves that, that cup of cappuccino just right the way that he, we think that's so cute. And it is, I'm not saying that's wrong, but listen, your spouse cannot be your shepherd. They cannot be the one to take care of you. The Lord must be your shepherd. Why don't you come on out to celebrate recovery on Tuesday nights? You know what we call having a spouse as a shepherd? Codependency. When other people are responsible to take care of you and make you happy. So I'll see you Tuesday. That'd be great. We want other people to take care of us. We want the government to take care of us. We want the church to take care of us. And hey, you know what? People should take care of one another. The government should care for you. That's what the government's there for, to care for the people. The church is commanded to care for each other as the people. That's what the church is. Those are all great things. But the moment that you allow those things to become your shepherd, you are in trouble. You are in trouble. Now, even as a pastor, I can be a shepherd to you, but I cannot be your shepherd. I cannot do what the Lord can do. Thank God for that. The Lord needs to be your shepherd. Because you know what? As long as somebody else is your shepherd, they're going to let you down. They're going to let you down. But God can never let you down. He will not let you down when the Lord is your shepherd. So David goes on to write, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. It's hard to be scared when the presence of God surrounds you. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The moment that you allow fear to control your thinking, you have lost sight of God as your shepherd. The moment that you act and function in fear, you've forgotten about the God who is present with you. You know what fear is? False evidence appearing real. There's no need for it. There's no need for it. And David here is saying that he's walking through the valley of the shadow of death. People say, well, I'm just walking through Death Valley like David. David's not walking through Death Valley. He's walking through the valley of the shadow of death. The shadow of death. Not death. It's the shadow of death. Has the shadow of a dog ever bitten anybody? Shadows don't hurt you. Shadows can't harm you. Shadows can't touch you. You know what shadows can do? They can only make you afraid. They cannot touch you. They cannot. So David's smart enough, looking back at his life, to realize, hey, all those times when I was pulling my hair out and I didn't know how I was going to make it, I was just walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And now I know better. I have no reason to fear a shadow. I have no reason to be scared of a bad news report from my doctor. It's just a shadow. When the Lord is your shepherd, you fear no evil. Have you ever heard the way that people deliver bad news? You say, oh, Pastor Tim, I've got some bad news for you. Before I even know what it is, I'm already starting to feel fear. Now, we do that because we are trying to respect the seriousness of a situation. I understand why we respond that way. But why do we do that? I mean, it's like we want people to get scared with us. Won't you join me in fear when we hear a report? I love the way that I heard someone give me a report that was not a great report earlier this week. They said, hey, well, here's the report. They gave me the facts. And they said, but we're not worried at all. We're just not worried about it. Here's the facts. But I'm not going to be afraid. Praise the Lord. You mean you don't have to get scared when the doctor brings you a report? No, you don't. Not if the Lord's your shepherd, but who's your shepherd? See, if your spouse is your shepherd, then you should get afraid. Because your spouse can't provide healing for you. So if the government's your shepherd, you should get afraid. For those of you who are listening online, this message does not necessarily reflect the opinions of the greater Christian faith. But if the Lord is your shepherd, hey, you can sit back, you can relax, and you can enjoy the life that God's given you. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Do you know that the Lord can serve you a medium rare filet mignon with garlic mashed potatoes and seasoned asparagus in the midst of tragedy? Wow. God, you're going to set up a table for me? You're going to feed me a meal in the midst of my enemies, in the middle of my terrible circumstances? You mean that the doctors just said cancer and I can still go to my cousin's birthday party and have a good time? Yeah. Because God's going to prepare a table before you in the midst of your situation, in the midst of your tragedy. You could be hitting the lowest of lows, and you can still go about your day enjoying your life. Why? Because the Lord is your shepherd. But who's your shepherd? You can enjoy an evening with peace in your heart and in your mind, even though you've just been laid off from work and you have no foreseeable job on the horizon. You can still enjoy the long weekend even though you just received divorce papers in the mail. You can still live in joy and provision and blessing even though you've just declared bankruptcy. Why? Because God can prepare a table before you in the midst of tragedy. You may feel as though you are walking through a tough time right now. So who's your shepherd? Who's your shepherd? Because he'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. When the Lord is your shepherd, you refuse to fear. because he's present all around you. Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You know, I don't go anywhere without goodness following me. Everywhere I go, doesn't have a choice. It just comes with me. It's attached to me. Everywhere I go, God's goodness is. You know, I live with an expectancy that God's going to be good to me. I live expecting God to do something good for me. You say, oh, that's awfully confident. That's awfully arrogant of you, Pastor Tim. No, it's not. It's not that I've earned it. I don't walk in confidence of how I deserve God's blessings. But I walk in a confidence that God will bless me, that he will be good to me. Gee, I wonder how God's going to be good to me today. I wonder how God's going to pour out more of his mercy on me today. Because it just goes with me everywhere I go. Surely goodness and mercy, they're going to follow me all the days of my life. And he says this, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, starting now. See, sometimes we push that off into the future. I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I dwell in God's presence everywhere I go. David's saying, I know when the Lord's with me because his rod and his staff are there. His rod and his staff are guiding me. They are used to guide the sheep, to herd the sheep, and they are also used to defend the sheep from their enemies. You know that God will fight for you? God will fight your battles for you. But how many of us, if we are honest, as sheep, we see a wolf running towards us and we think, I got this. I got this. We roll up our fleece and we're like, hey, bring it on. Bring it on. Come on, wolf, let's see what you got. We have no idea how weak we are. If the sheep don't realize their need for a shepherd, they're in trouble. As soon as they think, hey, just let me out of here. I can take this. I can take that wolf down. It'll never bother us again. But how many of us feel that way? I got it. What have we fallen back into? I am my shepherd. I shall not want. So here's David. He's looking back at his life, how God had treated him, and he came to know the Lord as his shepherd. And having a revelation of that for him brought him to the point where he experienced this kind of a God in his life. I read through Psalm 23, and I greatly grow in my confidence of God. I feel strengthened in my ability to trust him. I do. I get confidence in praying when I read Psalm 23. Because I've learned something about the character of God. So when I read through this, I get bold in asking for God's goodness to manifest in my life. And some people say, well, Pastor Tim, be careful. You never know what God's going to do. You never know what God's going to do, so be careful how you pray, because maybe he won't answer that prayer. And if you prayed in faith, then you'll look foolish. Well, you know, sometimes we don't know what God's going to do. But God has given us his word, and he has told us what he wants to do. Did you realize that? God's told you what he wants to do. So people say, well, is God going to save my marriage? Well, I don't know if your marriage is going to end up getting fixed, but I do know God wants to. I know God wants to save your marriage. I know that God wants to restore your relationship with your children. I know it. I have absolute confidence, and I will pray accordingly. I know that I know that I know that God wants to heal sickness. And so I will pray every time, believing that God will heal. Why? Because God's will is never cancer. God's will is not diabetes. God's will is not arthritis or dementia. God's will is healing. And I will pray every time, believing that it will take place. Well, what happens if it doesn't? Well, that's not my concern. I know what God wants to do, and I pray accordingly. David got to a point where he knew God, his personality, and the Holy Spirit anointed him to write this beautiful psalm where we can approach him with such great confidence in our lives. But I want to ask you a question this morning. Who's your shepherd? Who's your shepherd? I think if we're honest, if I can be honest, I think a lot of the times I've got a lot of other shepherds in my life. I hold on to a lot of what I think other people can provide for me and how they can take care of me and bless me and help me and serve me than I do just going directly to the source. You know, it's not right to put pressure on other people to do things for you. Sometimes we do that. We put pressure on people. Well, you have to do this. This is what families do. You're a part of the family, so you have to be a part of this. You have to come to this get-together. You have to contribute to this need. Don't you know that Uncle Joe has a need? We need everybody to give $100 to Uncle Joe's need. You have to do this. And we allow people to put pressure on us. We allow people to make us their shepherd, and we allow ourselves to make other people our shepherds rather than going to the source. Saying, God, I have a need. Will you shepherd me in this? Will you take care of me, God? Don't you put pressure on your spouse to be your shepherd. It is not your spouse's responsibility to make you happy. It is not your spouse's responsibility to make you happy. Now, if they make you happy, praise the Lord. I'd say that's a good recipe for a good marriage. But it's not their responsibility. Your joy must be founded in Jesus Christ and who you are in Him. When you have that joy, your joy is going to be a blessing to your spouse, and that joy is going to reciprocate back to you. You have this joy in who you are. Why? Because you know your shepherd. In John chapter 10, Jesus was speaking to this large multitude, and he says, hey, there's a difference between a shepherd and a hired hand. A hired hand, they're going to run away when the wolf comes. Why? Because they don't care about you. But Jesus says, the good shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep. Jesus says this, and I'll ask the worship team to come on up. Jesus says this in John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus says, I am the kind of a shepherd that cares so much for you that I am going to die for you. I'm going to lay down my life for you. That's the kind of a shepherd that we have. We have a good shepherd. And so I've just made a decision in my life that I don't lack. I've made a decision that I'm going to spend some time lying down in green pastures. I've made a decision that I'm going to let God lead me beside still waters. I'm not going to keep on working and working and overworking myself and trying to do more and achieve more and make progress. Hey, I'm sure a lot of people in here could become very successful and wealthy if you just never took a day off. You might lose your family in the process. You might never see your kids again. But hey, you could become wealthy. You could become successful. You could be on the cover of Time magazine. But who will be your shepherd in that moment? Who will be the one taking care of you? You'll become your own shepherd. When Jesus came to this earth and he said, wow, I'm going to lay down my life for you. Jesus laid down his life for you. He died for you. So why do you not think that he would be willing to heal you of your sickness? Why do you think that he would not be willing to provide for your financial need? Why do you think that he would not be willing to save your marriage and to restore your relationship with your kids? Why would you think that? Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. And I'm going to pour out all that I have, all that I am, so that you can receive all that I am and all that I have. You're going to get it all as a gift. Jesus is our good shepherd. But will you let him be your shepherd in your life? Will you be mature enough to declare, Jesus is my shepherd? I'm not going to rely on mom and dad anymore. I'm not going to rely on my spouse or the government or my pension or CPP. I'm not going to rely on that. My foundation is going to be in Jesus Christ. He provides for me. I'm not going to put my faith in a doctor's report. I'm going to put my faith in my shepherd. I'm going to put my faith in what my God can do. And guess what? In the midst of your tragedy, you can have a table prepared for you. Constant provision, not lacking in any good thing. Who is your shepherd this morning? Will you make it Jesus Christ? Will you stand with me this morning? I want you to join me in making a declaration of Jesus being your shepherd. You may have been a part of church since you were just a baby. You may be very new to church. You may be very new to hearing about this God, this Jesus, this shepherd. But if what I'm saying is resonating with your heart this morning, I want you to declare with me, the Lord is my shepherd. Repeat this after me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. For his name's sake, and even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God in heaven, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. And Lord Jesus, we bless your name this morning. We thank you for your lordship over our lives. We thank you for your deep care for every one of our needs. That you do not see a single need in our life. You do not see and hear a single prayer request that is unimportant to you. And so God, I thank you that you care for us, and we trust you to shepherd us in your goodness and in your mercy. We bless your name. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Remain standing as we worship.